Hello, I'm Sebastian. Welcome to Nine Gnar Trees Podcast. Today, I will summarize and review the book, Original Instructions Indigenous Teachings for a Sustainable Future, edited by Melissa K. Nelson, is an anthology of indigenous environmental thought, cultural teaching, and sustainability ethics, bringing together the voices of more than 20 indigenous leaders. Scholars, activists, farmers, and spiritual teachers, the book presents sustainability not as a technical management problem alone, but as a question of relationship, responsibility, and cultural continuity. Nelson, an Anishinaabe and Métis scholar, activist, and cultural ecologist, frames the collection around the idea that ancestral teachings offer guidance for living well within ecological limits. The book belongs to indigenous studies, environmental humanities, and sustainability literature, while also serving educators and community organizers seeking indigenous perspectives on land, food, ceremony, and ecological justice. Its purpose is not to provide a single universal program, but to foreground diverse indigenous knowledge systems as living sources of ethical practice and practical resilience in a period of environmental disruption. I will give you key takeaways from this book. Firstly, original instructions as a framework for right relationship with Earth. The central idea of the book is that indigenous peoples carry ancestral guidance about how humans should live in relation to land, water, plants, animals, ancestors, and future generations. Original instructions is not treated as a rigid doctrine or a nostalgic return to the past. It functions as an ethical orientation grounded in reciprocity, restraint, gratitude, and accountability. This is important because it shifts sustainability away from the narrow language of resource use and toward the broader question of how human communities understand their place within living systems. The book presents ecological harm as inseparable from broken relationships, including broken relations between humans and place, between generations, and between dominant societies and indigenous nations. In this framework, sustainability requires more than improved technology or policy reform. It requires renewed obligations to the natural world and respect for knowledge carried through ceremony, language, subsistence practices, and community memory. The value of the concept lies in its insistence that environmental responsibility is cultural and spiritual as well as material. Secondly, traditional ecological knowledge as living practice rather than data. A major contribution of the anthology is its treatment of traditional ecological knowledge as a living system of practice, rather than a body of information to be extracted and inserted into Western science. The book emphasizes that indigenous ecological knowledge is developed through long relationships with specific homelands, seasonal cycles, species behavior, food systems, and community obligations. This matters because it resists a common tendency to treat indigenous knowledge as a set of observations that can be separated from the peoples and responsibilities that sustain it. The contributors point toward knowledge as relational, experiential, and intergenerational. It is learned through participation, listening, ceremony, harvesting, tending, and respect for limits. Such knowledge can inform contemporary sustainability. But the book implies that it must be engaged through ethical relationships with indigenous communities, not through appropriation. This distinction gives the anthology intellectual weight. It does not merely argue that indigenous peoples have useful environmental facts. It argues that the ways knowledge is produced, protected, and practiced are themselves part of sustainability. Thirdly, spiritual and ceremonial dimensions of ecological responsibility. The book stands apart from many sustainability texts by refusing to separate ecological responsibility from spiritual life. In many of the perspectives gathered by Nelson, land is not an inert background for human activity, and non-human beings are not simply resources. Rivers, seeds, animals, mountains, and soils are approached as participants in a moral and spiritual order. This approach has practical consequences. If the natural world is understood as alive, responsive, and worthy of respect, then environmental action becomes a matter of conduct, humility, and obligation rather than only efficiency. Ceremony, prayer, story, and seasonal observance help maintain this orientation by reminding communities of dependence and reciprocity. The anthology does not present spirituality as an abstract belief added onto environmentalism. It shows that spiritual practices can shape how people harvest, restore, teach, and make decisions. For readers trained in secular environmental policy, this may be challenging, but it is also one of the book's key interventions. It broadens sustainability by including moral formation and cultural practice. Fourthly, food sovereignty, seed keeping, and land stewardship as practical sustainability. Although the anthology is strongly philosophical, it also points toward concrete practices, especially in food sovereignty, seed preservation, and land stewardship. Indigenous food systems are presented as more than sources of nutrition. They are tied to language, ceremony, health, ecological knowledge, and the continuity of community identity. Seed keeping and the revitalization of traditional foods become acts of cultural renewal as well as ecological resilience. This focus is important because it connects large environmental questions to daily practices of planting, harvesting, cooking, sharing, and caring for place. It also clarifies why indigenous sustainability cannot be separated from land access and sovereignty. Communities cannot fully practice inherited ecological responsibilities if they are removed from homelands, denied control over resources, or forced into dependence on industrial food systems. The book's attention to food and land makes its teachings less abstract. It shows that sustainability is enacted through specific relationships with soil, water, seeds, elders, youth, and local ecosystems. These practices illustrate how cultural survival and ecological restoration can reinforce one another. Lastly, anthology form as a plural and sovereignty-centered method. The structure of original instructions is significant because the book does not try to compress indigenous thought into one universal model. As an edited anthology, it allows different indigenous voices to speak from distinct cultural, ecological, and political locations. This plural form reflects an important principle: indigenous knowledge is not monolithic. Teachings arise from particular nations, homelands, histories, and responsibilities. The advantage of this structure is that readers encounter a range of emphases, including spirituality, activism, environmental justice, land defense, food systems, and cultural revitalization. The limitation is that readers seeking a single step-by-step sustainability framework may find the book less linear than policy manuals or academic syntheses. Yet that limitation is also part of its method. The anthology asks readers to listen across difference without flattening it. It models an approach to sustainability grounded in respect for indigenous sovereignty and contextual knowledge. Instead of offering indigenous teachings as general inspiration, detached from people and place, the collection keeps attention on the communities and traditions from which those teachings come. In conclusion, Original Instructions is well suited for readers in indigenous studies, environmental humanities, sustainability education, anthropology, religious studies, and food systems work. It will also benefit activists, land-based educators, community organizers, and general readers who want to understand why indigenous perspectives are central to contemporary ecological debates. Its practical value lies in expanding the reader's idea of sustainability, rather than treating environmental crisis only as a problem of carbon, conservation, or management. The book shows how ecological repair is connected to sovereignty, cultural memory, ceremony, food systems, and ethical relationships with place. Its intellectual value is equally strong because it challenges readers to reconsider what counts as knowledge and who is authorized to define environmental solutions. Compared with many sustainability books that privilege policy, economics, or Western ecological science, this anthology stands out by centering indigenous voices and by preserving the plurality of their teachings. It is not a technical manual, and readers should not expect a uniform program that can be applied everywhere. Its strength is different. It offers a grounded, relational, and culturally specific account of why indigenous knowledge systems matter for a sustainable future. The book remains important because it links environmental responsibility with justice, reverence, and the survival of living traditions. If you would like to support Melissa K. Nelson, you can buy the book through the Amazon link I've provided in the podcast description. After reading the book, please let me know what you think and share your thoughts. See you around.